And at that time, the EPA didn't know how to do it. They just told you you had to do it, which was kind of silly, but that's the way it worked. So they said, okay, you want us to clean our water. Well, how should we do this? We don't know. You have to go. So they went to this engineer in Salem, and he had a plant in Salem. He was growing fish in swimming pools. And the EPA caught on to him because he was dumping the wastewater into the ocean. And they said, you can't do that. You have to clean it before you do it. So he devised his own system. SP Engineering, I think it was called. So he was employed by the tanneries because they sent to the EPA, well, where do we go to get this stuff? And they said, well, go to this guy, and we made him do it over in Salem. He's doing it over there. See if he can engineer a system for you. And that's what the guy did. He made a lot of money engineering filtration systems for the tanneries. So the tanneries would filter their water. The EPA would come in a year late and said, it's not good enough. You have to do this. And they just kept banging on them all the way down the line until they finally threw up their hands. Most of them just said, we're not even going to do it anymore. It's too costly. Mm. And most of them didn't. And there's only, in 2006, was maybe three people in the North Shore that are still doing it. And, they're on the fence. You know, is it worth it? They could go overseas. They could just shut down and do the same thing overseas, where most of their business, their customers are anyways. Because the garment manufacturers went overseas. It's not in New York anymore. It wasn't in... I think there were still offices in Boston, leather offices in Boston, but it's very, very small. Where that was they had their own district in Boston. It was the leather district, and there were buyers and traders, and called Peabody up, we need so much leather.
How did the closings affect Larrabee and Hingston?
Quite a bit. We had to start downsizing. There was as people got older and they retired, they weren't replaced. Basically what it was. We didn't have a layoff until the very end when we, just before we closed the company, mm-hmm. where we had to lay off a couple of our guys that had been with us for a long time. And then we just, the family just, it was just family running there at the end. And then it was, the handwriting had been on the wall for a long time, but it was just like, we still have some customers, we can keep this going, but it had customers. One of our best customers was, his factory was in Haiti, and he closed his, and they were doing the same thing in Haverhill, Hoyt and Worthing Tanning. They were on the fence about closing, and just closing all together in Haverhill and shipping everything down to Haiti and running it out of Haiti. Which they had a plant in Haiti since the 70s. They were approached by the United Nations. They had a factory down there to employ the Haitians to help Haiti, but Haiti was under a dictatorship at the time, so it was like, Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier. The factory was making money, so they finally decided to close it, I think in 86 or somewhere around there, they might have closed that factory, and then shipped everything down to Haiti and ran it out of there. And then 2 years later, the guy who didn't want to close the factory in Haverhill finally realized that the owner was right. He should have did it 10 years ago, because tough for them, only they had to keep flying down to Haiti and do business down there. They couldn't do it over the phone all the time. They still had an office in Haverhill and a shipping destination in Haverhill where they containerized the leather that was made in Haiti and then shipped it up to Haverhill, and they reshipped it to glove makers around the country in Canada and Ohio. And they were still doing it up until I finally stopped working for them a couple of